come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled The Acts of the Apostles, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through Acts chapters 1 through 16. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Lord Jesus, as we just look at this portion of our text, Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are in our midst. I thank you, Lord, that you have made us aware that you're here. Thank you for worship, that we are able to enter into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We're thankful, Lord, that you have heard our prayer, Lord, and that you are answering even right now, that you know everything about us, everything, everything. Thank you, Lord, that you walk with us and that you go before us and that you've prepared the way, that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I got this bright idea on the way here to change my notes around. And so I started teaching with my notes the way that I had changed them around, and I got a little lost, so it was a little different this morning. So tonight will be a little bit more organized, hopefully, on what I actually put together with the Lord's help. But chapter 10 takes us back to that place 10 years ago. It was 10 years ago from this time that the call was given from Jesus, the command was given from Jesus to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. It has been 10 years. Actually, I was at the retreat this weekend. Remember you guys all prayed for me to get something on evangelism? Yes, and so as you prayed for me to get things on evangelism, and I really labored over how do you put together something on evangelism? Is it a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Is that how it works? Or no, I know it's not that. That's not how it works. And then as Sandy Teal was teaching on Philip the evangelist, I just went, oh yeah, okay. And so we took a little look at Philip the evangelist and how he worked in there. And actually, Philip the evangelist shows up in our text today, although you didn't see his name. And so the apostles have not yet included the Gentiles in that command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They haven't brought in the Gentiles, although some people who were Greeks and who had become Christians were ministering to the non-Jew, the Gentile, but not the apostles at this time. In our text today, the key to this text is grace. It's grace. The whole thing that this text is about is grace. We're going to see God saves all men by his grace. All men, all women, all people by his grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Peter will be graced by a vision from the Lord. Cornelius will be graced by a vision from the Lord via an angel. And each complimented the other one. As you have seen in your study, you saw when this one was praying, this one was praying. And when this one was done and got direction, he's going on and this other person is right where he's supposed to be at the particular time. God has orchestrated it all. Why do we worry so much about what we're praying about and we don't see results and we go, oh, well, God's probably not working on my behalf. He's probably doing something different. He doesn't have it. I'm sure he just doesn't get where I'm at. But God has it all in control. Julie was sharing with me today how some of the things that as she was preparing for going overseas and preparing for missions and stuff, she had this line of this is the way I'm going to do it, and then this class closed and this class opened, and this class that opened ended up being the one that she needed to get over to here, and then when she got over to there, what she really wanted to do was do this other thing, but she couldn't do it over there, she had to go to this other place to do it. And you see, God tied it all together so that they are exactly where God wants them to be right at the right time. We can hang on to that. We can hang on to God knows what he's doing. And so in verses 1 through 8, we have Cornelius's vision. Then in 9 through 16, Peter's vision. And then little breakdowns throughout the chapter on a verse or two at a time until we get down to where Peter is preaching the gospel. And so let's just get into it right now. And so I want you to, I will just read. There was a certain man in Caesarea. Who else do we know in Caesarea? Philip. You remember, Philip went through the Philistine territory. He preached all the way over there, and he settled into Caesarea. So Philip's been here, and I wonder, it's Philip the Evangelist, and of course you know that he was the one of the seven. He was not Philip the Apostle. We don't hear anything more about Philip the Apostle. And we don't hear any more about some of the other apostles either. But we do hear more about Philip the Evangelist. And Philip the Evangelist, what we hear about him is that he settled in Caesarea, probably talking with Cornelius. Probably Cornelius has heard some of the things that Philip has shared as he went about sharing Christ throughout all of Caesarea. And we know about Philip that in chapter 21, he will have four virgin daughters who prophesied. We know this about him. We know that he was a man who not only evangelized when he was out, he evangelized in his own home. And if we are evangelizing when we're out, let's pay attention to make sure that we're evangelizing when we're at home. However God leads us to do that. And so here he is in Caesarea, and this man was called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, of one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. By the way, when it says all of his household, it's not talking about a wife. The reason that is because a centurion was not allowed to be married until his time was up, his time of service was up. He was allowed to have a woman and he was allowed to have children, but he was not allowed to marry her until after his service was over. However that worked out, it just is kind of crazy. So it may not be talking about a wife and family here. It's talking about relatives or other people that he knew of. And so he was one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously. He was a generous man to the people. He prayed to God always. And about the ninth hour of the day, that is about 2 to 3 p.m., and notice that that is about dinner time. That's about the time they'd be eating dinner. He saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius, and when he observed him, he was afraid. So would I be. If I ever saw an angel that was coming up to me, just came up to me and said, hey, don't be afraid. Okay, yeah, all right. I okay, yes. And so he said, don't be afraid. What is it, Lord? Right away, Cornelius asks him. So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. God heard Cornelius's prayers and he saw his works. And God hears your prayers, and he sees your works. Don't for a moment think that he's taken his eyes off of you. He has dove's eyes. They're only set on you. How does that work? How can he have his eyes set on each one of us individually? I don't know how that works, but the Word of God tells us that that's the way that it is, and I believe that that's the way that it is. He sees you, and he hears you, and he knows where you are at. We'll get into that a little bit in a moment here. And so, in verse 5, "Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius right away called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, in verse 9, the very next day, okay, the men have been sent. It's going to take them one day's journey to get to Joppa. And so it says in verse 9, "The very next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." So when these visions came, what were these two men doing? They were both praying. They were praying, and apparently they were listening and they were watching. They were paying attention. Praying is an action. We think, okay, so I'm praying, I'm staying in this one place and I'm praying. But sometimes it's just, I'm praying, and I'm praying on my knees, and I'm up, and I'm walking, and I'm praying, and I'm listening, and I want to hear what God has to say to me, so I'm very quiet. Sometimes I just sit, and which is, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but to just sit and wait for something, well, that was, what, 2 seconds? Yeah, it's a hard thing to do, but I guarantee you that God will speak to us if we will listen. Take the time to listen. Another thing was going on in these two guys' lives at the time that they were praying. They were both hungry. Cornelius, we'll see a little bit later, was fasting for 4 days. And when we talk about fasting, we'll talk about it a little bit more as we get into it. But when we're talking about fasting, we're really talking about not eating food. And we see here, Peter, we're going to see as I just turn the page, it says, "Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, while they were cooking, he fell into a trance." This was not from lack of food that he fell into this trance. He did not go into a coma because he didn't have food. He just was hungry. And you know, some people get a little more, I'm starving, I'm going to waste away. No, you had breakfast. You know, you're okay. You're going to last until it's all ready. That's where Peter was at. It was the noon meal for Peter. And he fell into this trance. And he saw heaven opened up and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Those two don't go together. We can say, "Not so," and we can say, "Lord." But we can't truly say, "Not so, Lord." And I know that that's 3 words. I know that. We can't say, "Not so, Lord." Because when we call someone our Lord, we're saying they are in charge. And when we say, "Not so," we're saying to the one in charge, "No thanks. I'll take it from here." But and that's what Peter said. Why did he say it? Because he said, but Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. I am under the law. I have lived by the law. I will not break the law. I'm not going to do it. That's not going to happen on my watch. I can't eat these things. And if you want to check out what these things were in Deuteronomy 14, you can look it up and you can find out what are the clean animals and what are the unclean animals. But God was not telling him to go out and get a big ham and start eating it. What he's telling him is something deeper than the food that he would eat. And the voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times. Now look at Peter. There's something about this number three. This was laid down three times. He denied the Lord three times. He later on, three men are going to take him, are going to meet with him. There just has to be something to this number three that has connection with Peter. I don't know at this point what it is. If anybody comes up with anything, please, please let me know because it's bothering me. It was done three times, and the object was taken into heaven. Now, while Peter wondered within himself, while he's up there, and he's wondering within himself about this vision that he's had, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and they were right there at his gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit spoke to him. As he's pondering what God has done, as he's thinking about this vision that I had, when I was at this the conference on over the weekend, or over the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday last week, I had a vision and I found myself doing this very thing. I just kind of sat and thought about, I'm not sure what it means. But the Lord is showing me bit by bit what that vision means in my own life. And so that's what Peter was doing here. He was pondering what he had seen. And behold, the three men, the Lord spoke to him as he was in that place of trying to understand what was going on. The Lord spoke to him. He said, there's three men that are going to come. They're coming for you. They want to take you somewhere. Go with them. It's okay. You're going to be fine. Just go with them. And they would tell him, in verse 22, they would tell him what happened with Cornelius and why they had come to talk with him. And the following day, verse 24, so again, we have that number three, because it was the day that Cornelius did, and then the day that they lodged with him. By the way, in verse 23, he invited them in and they lodged with him. That means that he made a covenant with them. In the Middle East, if you eat a meal with someone, you are making a covenant with them. You stand with them. He has made a covenant with them. And so that was day number two. And then the following day, day number three, they entered Caesarea. And so there they are. There's that three, that number three again. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his servants and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter, verse 26, lifted him up saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. Do not worship me. There are a number of people today who love the worship that they get because they stand in front. I'm not talking about specifically Christians. I'm talking about people who love the attention. They love to be worshiped. They love to be the center of attention. They want to get all the glory for themselves. And Peter had an opportunity to receive all that glory upon himself. But he says, don't do that. I am just a man like you. I am just a man like you. There is nothing special about me. We live in a day, in a time where everybody, I look on Instagram these days, and there's always something telling me about I'm special, I'm loved, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing, lifting me up, helping me to admire myself. And God calls us to something much more than that. Yes, I'm special to God. I am special to God. You are special to God. So special that he died on the cross for you and for me. He shed his blood. He rose from the dead for you and for me. That makes us special. But I'm not really special. I am a vessel. And I want to be a vessel that allows the Lord to fill me and to be poured out. I want to be a vessel that quickly pours out the Lord on other people. That's what Peter is saying here. I'm just a vessel. And so as we move on, and as he talked with them, he went in and he found many who had come together. And here we see that Cornelius already was evangelizing the people. He was telling them, come in. I know that this guy Peter has something to tell us. God told me that this guy has something to tell us, and it's a very important thing. And so I want you to come in. You guys all come in. He didn't mind not being number one. Remember, he's a centurion. He's someone who's in charge. He is a guy who has charge of everything. And then he said to them, you know, Peter said to them in verse 28, you know how unlawful it is for Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Here's how the grace ties together in this. This is how the grace ties together. He realizes that all are just the same place on to God. He said, I understand what God is showing me in the vision. Peter explains to Cornelius how this is unlawful to preach to the Gentiles, but when the law goes against God's word, it must be broken. When the law goes against God's word, it must be broken. There are places when the law goes against God, and it must be broken if I am to share with other people the goodness of God and what he's done in my life. I understand what God is showing me now, he says, in my vision, and I'm putting it into practice right now. I understand Galatians 2:6. That God shows personal favoritism to no man. It is no one who is that special. Therefore, I came without, I mean, we're all special, all one special. Okay, we're all one special. It's not you're special and you're special and you're special and you're special. We are special, all in one. Does that make better sense than anything so far that I've said? Therefore, I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked then, for what reason have you sent me? And then Cornelius starts telling him. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting. And at the ninth hour, and then he goes and he tells the whole story to him and goes all the way down to verse 33. Cornelius says that he was fasting for 4 days until that moment, and about noon he prayed in his house, and then Cornelius explains the visitation of the angel, and he was fasting. He was hungry. What are you hungry for? He was hungry. I believe that fasting is a lost art. It's something that many of us have done in the past. But now we kind of look at it as, I don't know, fasting, I might get hungry. I might get a headache. Oh, I might be uncomfortable. Oh, really? I gotta fast? I'm not talking about intermittent fasting for you to be healthy. I'm talking about a type of fasting that takes away the food from us and allows us to hear what God has to say to us. There's something about taking the time that we would normally be eating and take that time to pray, take that time to seek the Lord, take that time to listen to him. And our minds get clearer and we are more astute to the Holy Spirit, and it does great things in us. Why do we not do it? When I have decided to fast, when I go, oh, okay, I'm going to fast, I'm telling you, I get past the first cup of coffee and I'm sure I'm going to starve to death before the day's over when I decide that I'm going to fast. Okay, I'm going to fast today. Okay. But when God calls me to a fast, there's just something that he does in us, and we begin to just, the food is, yeah, it's a bit of a temptation, but it's like, yeah, okay, but I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to starve to death. I really want to seek the Lord. And so God carries us through. When I worked at the retreat center and was cooking for a number of people, 100 people, we made our own bread from scratch. Everything that we made in that kitchen was from scratch. But God called me to a fast, and I've got to tell you, that was the best fasting time of my entire life. I was working among that food, and yet as I did it, I was able to serve it without looking at it like it was something that I really had to have, because God was doing a work in me through the fasting. And so let's not lose that anymore. Let's, when God calls us to fasting, let's do it. And it is talking about, you can fast from anything that you want to. And if God calls you and he says, I want you to fast from this, then you do it. But when we're talking about it scripturally, it is talking about not eating food. That's what it's talking about in scripture. But you can fast from anything you want to. So moving right along, that was a little rabbit trail there, and we'll keep moving on from there. And so God, from the fasting, the vision gave Cornelius the directions to where Peter was. Through the fasting, he got the directions to where Peter was. God knows where you are, and he has his eye on you. We don't have time to read it all tonight, but Psalm 139, 7 through 12, you're going to want to write it down, and you're going to want to read it to yourself. Where can I go from your spirit, Lord? I can't go to the darkness. You're there. I can't go to the light. You're there. I can't go to the depths of hell. You're there. I can't go to heaven. You're there. You are everywhere, and God is there. God is here. He is with you. God loves you. He is with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And so, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. It is clear to me now. I know that this is the truth. And then from 34 to 43, he tells them about Jesus. He tells them the whole story of what he has walked through, knowing that Philip was preaching there with his four virgin daughters, prophesying with him. He said, we witnessed it all. We witnessed it all. We saw him raised from the dead. We ate with him. We drank with him. We knew him intimately. And Peter is saying, you can know him intimately. I am an eyewitness, and what I have seen, I am sharing with you so that you might have that intimate relationship with God. And God is calling us today, ladies, to have that intimate relationship with him. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He wants to draw you in close to him. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. And I don't know where this is really coming from right now. I just really sense that somebody needs to know that God loves you and that he will not leave you, he will not forsake you, and that he will walk with you and he will speak to you if you will just take the time. Just take the time to know him intimately, to know this God who loves you so much. It takes a little bit of action on our part. To him, verse 43, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him, Jesus will receive, whoever believes in him, that is, believes in Jesus, will receive remission of your sins. You will be saved. Zechariah 13:1. It prophesied that Jesus would come. And then as he's talking to him, all the prophets witness just what I just read, that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. But while Peter was still speaking, verse 44, these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed, Those who went came with him, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And not only had the Holy Spirit been poured out on them, but they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They heard them do the very thing that happened on the day of Pentecost amongst the Jews. The Holy Spirit has descended upon them. It has poured out upon them. They are immersed in the Holy Spirit. They are saturated in the Holy Spirit right now. And because they are saturated in the Holy Spirit, because they are immersed in the Holy Spirit, they are glorifying God. That's what happens when we are filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. We want to glorify God. We want to give Him all. We want to give Him all that we have. It all belongs to Him. I don't know. I keep being on the verge of tears tonight. I don't know what's going on. The Holy Spirit falls upon them. The Jews who believed were astonished because this doesn't happen with Gentiles. But it comes back again. As Peter said, there is no partiality with God. There is no partiality. All of those gifts that were given of the Holy Spirit, they're all available to all of us. There's no one more available than the other. And they spoke in those other languages. And then in verses 47 and 48, they were baptized in water, just like the Jews. And then they asked Peter to hang around for a little bit. Can you just hang around for a bit? Because something really amazing has happened here. But could we take just a few minutes? And I promise to be just a few minutes. And I want to talk about this man, Cornelius. Cornelius was not a believer. Although he was a good man, he was in fact a religious man, as we know the word religion. He was very faithful in what he did. The only time we see or hear about Cornelius appears and disappears here in chapter 10. We don't hear anything about him anymore. This is his swan song. This is his number one. This is it about Cornelius, but this is what we know about him. We know that he had a great moral character. We know that he had noble influence, even among the Jews. We know that he worshiped one true God, it says in chapter 1, or in verse 1. We know that his life was characterized by reverence. We know that he prayed consistently and that he was generous with the people and with his money, and especially to the poor. We know that he was a force in his family, leading them in spiritual values. And we know that he was a Gentile. And when Peter arrives, he'll give an explanation as to why he had sent for him in verse 33 that we already went over. He will give him the whole explanation. Why I sent for you? Why did I come looking for you? I came looking for you because the God that you serve was the one who called me and told me where you were at. But wait, there's more about these things. And there are 6 points here. 6 points that we'll go over quickly. It is 6 because 6 is the number of man. 7 is the number of completion or perfection, but 6 is the number of man. Number 1, he referred to God, not gods. He referred to God, not gods. He was a monotheist, if you want to use a big word. Most Gentiles worshipped many gods, 1 Corinthians 8, 5, and 6. And in Rome in particular, before hearing from Peter, Cornelius had already turned from idols. I wonder where he got that idea. Maybe Philip had been chatting with him. Number 2, Cornelius believed that God could see us and that he was watching us. All here in the sight of God. Even the Hebrews had a hard time believing this. Do you ever have a hard time believing that God is always watching you? I do. I have a hard time sometimes believing that God sees me. When I am in a place where I'm struggling with something, I have a hard time believing that God, you see this. I know you see this, but I just help my unbelief. Jacob in Genesis 28:16 said, "Surely God was in this place, but I didn't know it. I didn't see it myself." Number 3, Cornelius knew that saving truth would come from the one that God told him to bring there. He knew that the one called Peter would be the one who would bring him saving knowledge. And they were gathered to hear what Peter would say. Cornelius knew that his message received was just directions as to what to do, but the one that Peter would give would have eternal life involved with it. It would bring salvation. Number four, Cornelius acknowledged the sovereignty of Almighty God. He confessed that the Lord had commanded certain things to which people were to respond, and he was humbly anxious to submit. Now, that's a phrase. Humbly anxious to submit. Could I see the hands of those who are humbly anxious to submit? You notice mine is not raised either. Although we do have some. We are humbly anxious to submit. Sometimes this strong-willed person wants to handle it myself. But God calls me, as he did to Cornelius, and Cornelius responded, humbly anxious to submit. I want to be anxious to submit. I want my life to change in that way. God is the giver of commands, and we get to be receivers. He's the giver of commands. We get to be receivers. And we dare not get in the driver's seat. And no backseat driving either. Let him drive. Number five, Cornelius knew that he could not selectively obey the Lord. He knew that he could not selectively obey the Lord. He said that they were there to receive all things that the Lord had for them. They were there to receive all the things that God had for them through Peter. I wonder how it would be if we had multiple choice obedience. Would you like multiple choice obedience? You can do this or this or this or this, and all of them would be obedience. You go ahead and pick whichever one you want. That's not direction. That's not training. That's not helping me when I have that kind of obedience in my life. I need that obedience of the Lord. Number six, Cornelius the centurion conceded the authority to Peter, the apostle. He gave up his authority to give to Peter, an apostle, as a spokesman for God. He said that he and his family were there to hear from Peter the things that God commanded the apostle to speak. He knew that whatever Peter said, it was from God. He knew because he had been in prayer. He knew because he had been fasting. He knew because he had been listening to the Holy Spirit. He knew that this man had something that he needed to have. Peter's words would carry as much weight as if the Lord had spoken to them, had spoken them personally. Peter's words would carry as much weight as if the Lord had spoken to them personally. How many have in your Bible the red letter edition? Most of us have a red letter edition. And I look at those red letters and I go, those are special. You know, that's what Jesus said. But I forget some other things that Jesus said. Jesus himself declared that one authorized by him carried his authority. So the same authority that is given to the red letters is also given to Peter, is also given to Paul. And it is just as if Jesus were speaking to us. In Luke 10:16, he who hears you hears me, when he was speaking to them there. Paul said that the things he wrote represented the command of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 14:37. And Cornelius understood this, and it reveals the depths of Cornelius's soul, the depths of his soul. Are you willing to listen no matter who's teaching you? Are you willing to stand to listen no matter who has something to say? I recently was in a place where there were a number of people who said, well, the Lord gave me this from that meeting, and the Lord gave me that from that meeting. And I came away from that meeting, and I was like, man, I didn't get anything. And I realized all those people who said that they got something from the Lord were the ones who had gone into that meeting saying, I want to hear from you, God. and God spoke to him. Unfortunately, I went into that meeting thinking, oh, I wonder how this is going to be. When I should have been saying, God, would you speak to me through these people? And I want you to know that I do those things because I'm just a person. I make the same mistakes. I am as weak as anybody else, probably weaker than most of you. But God gives us that ability to change. Remember, Peter's vision is total grace that was revealed when he met Cornelius. Remember that there is no partiality among men. It doesn't have anything to do with if you're good looking enough. It doesn't have anything to do with how you dress. It doesn't have anything to do how much money you have or where you live or anything. There is no partiality with God. We are on the same level. When we're listening for the Lord to speak, he will speak to us no matter who it is. Let's choose to be like this man Cornelius, even though it may turn out like chapter 11, where there's trouble in River City because of what happened here today in chapter 10. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have given us great things tonight. Lord, you have spoken to my heart. I thank you, Lord, that you are among us, that you have made yourself known. I thank you, Lord, that you are in complete control. 100% control. Could you guys all just hold hands with somebody? You don't have to get up to do it unless you're too far away from somebody to hold hands. If you're too far away from somebody to hold hands, just you don't have to go across the aisles or anything. Just hold at least one person's hand. That means you, Edie. Yes. I see a lovely lady right here in the front that could use a hand. Okay. Lord Jesus, right now we are laying hands on each other. And right now I know, as you did this morning, you are healing some things. And Lord, we pray for those healings. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for that back. And there's something on the back of the top of your back, your shoulders. Lord, we're asking for healing there. Something about a headache, some kind of, it's right in the front of your head. It's right in on your forehead type of headache. The Lord is healing you right now by the laying on of hands. There's pain in your feet. And the Lord is healing that now. And there's a wrist. God is healing you. Thank you, Lord, at the laying on of hands, that you have done what you said you would do, Lord. And I thank you for the healings that you have made manifest today. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that we would hang on to the things that you have done tonight. There's all that just over the top emotional is all over the top emotional. God's healing that, giving you peace in the quiet, in the secret place. You are there, Lord, and we thank you, we praise you, we give glory to your name, and we will recall what you did tonight, Lord. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on.
been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.